welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Such a warm welcome. We really trust that you're going to enjoy the rest of the service with us. Don't you want to turn to somebody next to you and say, "Hey, church planter." You ladies sitting on the floor, you and guys, you're welcome to sit on the floor if you want. There are a bunch of seats still open near the front here if you want to come. Otherwise, you're fine there. Some of you, as you kind of turned to one another and somebody looked at you and said, "Church planter," you thought, this is like a Gideon story. You know when Gideon comes, God comes to Gideon, he says, "Hey, Gideon, you mighty man of valor." And Gideon's response is, "Wrong Gideon." God, you've got the wrong Gideon here. Go back to Facebook. It's the other Gideon you're looking for. Your address book is a little bit confused because I know me. I'm not a mighty man of valor. God says, "No, that's exactly who you are." In the same way, I want to hold before you that all of us here, and I'll expand on this a little bit later. Do you know how God sees you? He sees you as a church planter. He sees you as somebody that he wants to use to establish and build that which he is building. I only know of one thing in Scripture that we can understand that Christ is building, and that's his church. That's you and me being built into his church as living stones, and out of that, his church flourishing and his church being built. And this evening, we're going to share a little bit around that, and we're going to talk about a word which is really exciting and a word which we love, but a word that we don't find anywhere in Scripture. It's the word missions. Missions is a great idea, and missions is a great descriptor of something. And it's a descriptor of what Christ calls church planting, church building. And one of the things we love doing as a church is we love sending people as far and as broad as we possibly can, because I believe that's what God would have us do. It's part of God's heart, not only for us as this church, but for his church. See, there are a whole bunch of missions organizations who do fantastic work sending mission teams, missions individuals. Do you know the reality is there should only be one mission sending organization? It should be the church. Speaking very frankly to us tonight. All of those others, as amazing as they are, do you know they're filling a void of where the church should have been operating and for many years didn't? And they stood up understanding the call of God and stepped into the void where the church wasn't stepping up. This evening, it's just an opportunity for us just to share a little bit of where the church is beginning to step up. So if you're visiting, then you're welcome to sit back and take out your popcorn, because we're going to watch some movies tonight. And before we do that, I want you guys quickly, if you don't have a QR reader on your smartphone, I quickly want you to take your cell phone out. If you don't have a smartphone, that's okay. We still love you. And if you've got a BlackBerry, we almost still love you. But take yours out quickly. If you've got a BlackBerry, you don't need to do anything. But if you've got an Android phone, just quickly go onto the Play Store. There's a little application called Barcode Scanner. It's really, really small. You should be able to download it very quickly. If you could just download that. And if you've got an iPhone, you can go into the Apple Store, and there's an application called QR Reader. If you could just download that quickly. So Barcode Scanner for Android and QR Reader for iPhone and Nokia. I don't know what you do. But while we watch this video, if you can download that little application, we're going to need to use it later on. Thanks, Ansuri. The Durban team, if you guys are still here, quickly can join us up here. Devan led a team over the end of November, beginning of December last year, and they're just quickly going to share part of the team is going to share some of what they experienced there.
Good evening, church. Yes, I must say the devil mission was so awesome. Okay, to start off, like on our way there, when we were still going, we decided to stop, like have a breakfast at Harry Smith in Mexis. And when we got there, we were wearing our Let's Go t-shirt, and then the waitress was like, hey, where are you from? Are you from school? Or was like, no, we are a church, Shofar Christian Church, we're going on a mission. It's like, really? Wow, I want you to pray for me, guys. So when it's like, okay, we'll pray for you after you have served us. So as we're busy, eating, and then I tell my team, no, that our waitress say she wants us to pray for her, and then Umid says, no, let's ask the manager first for, you know, to get permission. And when we tell the manager, that waitress tells everyone, even the one in the kitchen, that no, they're gonna pray for us. So everyone came, like who's working at Mexis, and that's so awesome. We sat then and we made a circle and we just prayed for them. And then it was so great that to see an encounter of God. Like some people after we prayed for them, like they were teary, like maybe they were experiencing God for the first time, but then yeah, maybe that thing never happens. But just awesome to see, you know, where you go, like Jesus is the light and he goes with us. So we just had a nice encounter there. So yeah, after that we went to get to Devon, where things are happening, where metric grade is getting down, all the metrics are going there to have fun, to party. And I'm like, ish, I'm not really bold to do this. I mean, to just go and minister to people who are drunk, and like, you know, even when they did this to 2012, I was like, this is crazy. How can you go to the clubs and pray for people? I mean, that doesn't make sense. They must come to church. But then it was just awesome that, you know, when we went there, and then the first night we went to the Belito grass, and then, you know, like, you know, when you go to mission, you have this idea, say, yeah, we're going to go to the clubs, we're going to pray for people, they're going to get healed. And our leader divine said, no, tonight we're not going to strive. We're going to just go there and worship in the grass, and like, worship? Okay. Let's see what's going to go down then. And as we worship, it was so awesome. Like, we just on the grass there worshiping, and like all the people were drawn because God's presence was there. Like everyone wanted to know what's happening. So my first encounter was so awesome. I bumped into this guy and asked me, what's happening here? And I'm like, no, we are worshiping God and we are ministering to people. Like, and then I asked him, do you know Jesus? And that guy goes and tell him all his life stories, and I'm getting frustrated, telling me like, yo, how he's been in like doing drugs, ecstasy, and then how he almost overdosed and almost died, and then how he almost had an accident and almost died. And I'm like, yo, where will I get a chance to speak about Jesus? Yeah, this is frustrating. And then Jesus just came to me and just like, no, just pray in the spirit. And, you know, as this guy's busy talking, telling me his life stories, and I'm like, you know, I start feeling like, yes, I'm not strong. I've never experienced this side of life. Like, I've never did drugs. How can I relate to this guy? But then, yeah, you know, when Jesus uses, doesn't your testimony is almost enough. Like, you don't need to have done all these things to spread the word. So I just told this guy, like, of all this, I just asked him one question. Like, of all this thing, you've survived your death. Do you think you are helping yourself or what? And that Jesus just looked at me like, well, now I believe that there's Jesus. You know, but then, you know, when you are there, there's a lot of spiritual welfare. So his friends were busy pulling him back. And like, but then I saw through this eyes, this guy wants to be in that grass patch. He wants to, you know, hear from God. And then luckily, as the friend was trying to, the other lady from Devon, Shofar Devon, came. And then I saw that God was working, that because that lady also did drugs and all these things. So as she started sharing about it, like, I saw that guy sitting down, didn't want to go anymore. It's like, you know, this is interesting. I want to hear from what God has for me. So I must say it was awesome. And yeah, like for missions, you don't feel weak. Like, because I, before the mission, I used to feel like I'm not bold enough. Like, I cannot do this, you know. Like, this is too much for me. But then, you know, God, when you are with Jesus, everything is possible. You just need to say, I'm going. And then Jesus will use you. So don't be shy, don't be afraid. Jesus has our backs all the time.
Thanks, Ross. Ross said, we basically went there to minister to Matric Rage. I forgot to say that in the first service. So I remember to say that now. But you said, yeah, Ross, while we were praising and worshiping, and at one stage the mood in the camp was down, and you just hear Ross beating this drum and he's jumping, "Hallelujah! Hallelujah!" I'll never forget that in my life. It was very cool. So we spent 3 nights on our mission, going out to Machik Rage, which is in Belita. Unfortunately, I think our photo person was so excited for this mission, so we got to take photos of the night. But we prepared a lot before that. There's a lot of spiritual warfare and stuff that goes with that. But I think it's just such an amazing opportunity to see how God uses different people in their different giftings. You know, some people have the ability to speak very well and easily to people by the first time, and other people, they really have a passion to pray for you, and they really have a passion to pray for you while you're speaking to people, and just to see the different dynamic, different, like, just worshiping God and seeing how He really comes through. So many divine encounters happened. I mean, Umut shared a story in honor of a guy who came there, and he was actually drunk, and while she was sharing her testimony with him, he sobered up, and he had the ability to commit to Christ, and he was so passionate afterwards. I even messaged him on WhatsApp and stuff in the start of this year. He was still so amped to just hear and find out about God, and it's really amazing how our life can change, and you don't have to strive for it. You just have to be yourself and be bold about God. You don't have to be shy of the truth, because this is the truth. You know, and that's really something that was predominant in Durban. Yeah, we spent other times just in regards to also building up the local church there. It's a young church, like a year and a half, and fellowshipping with them, learning from them, imparting to them. There's so much we can actually give. Also spend a lot of time praying at places where we really trust God to move, Muslim places and stuff like that, stadiums. And yeah, God really moved on that mission. That was very cool to see. So, guys, let's go. Amen.
Thanks, Durban team. If you know of people in Durban, invite them along to show for Durban. It's going great with the church. I'll actually be there Sunday afternoon at this service ministering. So if you know of people in Durban looking for a church, or who should be looking for a church, invite them along. And then if we can play the next video, please, Hansiri.
Sure, okay. The Lesotho mission was also really awesome. Just being there, God just really reminded me of how, like, it's really all about Him. Like, it's not about us, and all the focus is on Him. Like, the one time God just really sat me down and reminded me of how it's about relationship, and about relationship with Him, and then relationship with people. I just remember, like, the one time we'd planned to go show the Jesus film, and it stormed. And so then we're like, no, we'll go anyway. And we went to this other church. And when we got there, we like sat around. And then eventually a service started, and we started singing and singing and singing. And I think it was Rudy who shared that night, like a really powerful preaching that night. And afterward, we just went outside and started singing under the stars and really just praising God. And just in that, God just really showed me, like, it's about Him, and, like, all the focus is really on Him and all of that. And I just want to say that, like, if you really want to see God, like, moving in crazy, crazy ways, like, for some people there was, they had, like, a demon manifestation kind of thing, and they cleansed a house and stuff like that. And other stories that also happened, like, during the mission, like, if you want to see God, like, moving in crazy ways in your life, and if you want to have God stretch you and really, impart into your life, like, I'd say go on a mission. Like, let's go, definitely.
Whoop, whoop. Kom, geef haar handen klap. Lekker, lekker. Okay, on a very practical note, the way the mission was structured is we were two teams that went. We've partnered with this church for a couple of missions now, but I couldn't find, or we couldn't see how we can entertain a team there for 2 weeks because it's a very small town and we can't teach for 2 weeks. So we took a scouting mission of 7 people to the Haramabanta, and then God just showed us how we can like better their lives by digging a foundation for the pastor. His name is Pastor David. He travels from Maseru to Haramabanta. In like, yo, if you drive with him in that car in that mountain pass, you meet Jesus, because you pray all the time, because this thing doesn't have brakes. He brakes with the gears, and the gears, the lever sits here, and then sometimes the lever comes off, and then he looks at you, he's like, that's no problem, and he puts it back in, and he's carrying on. So, like, it's just crazy to see how he lays down his life, and he travels from Maseru to this place to just pass the church there. So we dug foundations so they can build a ministry house, they want to call it, so he'll stay there, or when teams go there to support him, they will stay there. And we also dug a trench or reopened the trench to give them running water at the church, which helps them a lot. Water sustains life, and without water, they have to walk very far. So we took them running water all the way to the church building, which was awesome. So we could actually fill the, they build a pool, especially for baptism, because they're very afraid of water. So they build a pool so they can baptize. So we ran the water to the church, we filled it, and we saw 22 people being baptized on a Sunday morning, which is ridiculously crazy. And then the ladies weeded in the plantations, which sounds quite easy. I promise you it's not. If you work in the Lesotho sun with a bent back, you work very hard. So it was uplifting for the community to see the people coming all the way from Pretoria and not lifting ourselves higher or esteeming ourselves more, but serving them. And I've been in contact with David, and the community has grown so much. Just we went there and we served. I remember one night we showed the Jesus film, and God told me that we must stand all in a circle around the people and just pray while the film is showing so that the people can meet the real Jesus. Because otherwise it's pointless. If you show that film and they don't meet Jesus, you pretty much like entertain yourself for 2 hours, and it was a waste of time. So we prayed, and then when the film was over, we made an altar call, and there was a fairly big response. And it was amazing for me to see, but what was even greater is about 3 or 4 nights later, we showed it again at another location. And then I felt God saying, okay, sit down and enjoy the film. I was like, okay, this is a bit strange. So I told the team members, we must sit down. We sat down. We watched the film, and the altar call that night was about twice as big. And then God just came and showed us that it's not us doing it. It's him doing it. He will build his church, and we can just be there to witness it. So I want to encourage all of you, if you feel that you're not capable or you're not worthy, you don't have the capacity to go on a mission and to be of a valuable asset, it's a good place to be in, because without Jesus you can't. But luckily all of us have him, and because of that, you are more than a conqueror. And something else that I want to just encourage you guys with is missions is the natural response for us. It's we must be witnesses unto him, not go on a mission and do witnessing. So it's a natural overflow of your natural everyday life. And if you're sitting here and you're planted in this church and you don't feel that you're called to go on missions, like, hello, this is what this church does. We send people to go on missions. This is our vision. So if you don't feel your call, just go pray about it. God specifically said, go, and that's our response. Let's go.
Thanks, Christy. And if we can pray that next video, please.
Evening, church. I just want to share a quick testimony of a principle that I learned on the mission in Rwanda. Before we went, I had a preconceived idea about what it was going to be like. Thought it was going to be like a Malawi mission where you preach and people get saved and healed and salvations and then feel good afterwards. But it was different. It was a tough mission for me, and I think for most of them. Because we had to do a lot of stuff that we couldn't see the results immediately. So I was frustrated and unfulfilled at the time. So I went to God and asked him, why am I so frustrated and unfulfilled? Because you say in your word, if we serve you, we'll have fulfillment and joy in our heart. So he told me that I'm actually looking at the results and I'm looking at the healings and miracles. I'm looking at his, searching for his blessings, and I'm looking for my joy in that. And I can never find my joy and peace or fulfillment in that. So I repented. And after that, I just experienced a new freedom, just to love God for who he is and find my joy in that, and not in looking at the results or searching for my fulfillment in that. So I want to encourage every one of you, each one of you are trusting God for something in your lives. So don't look at the results and find your fulfillment in that, because he's probably going to do it in a different way, and then you're going to feel he failed you, but he will never fail you. So trust in his good heart.
Cool. Thanks, Kobus. Okay, so we went to Rwanda last year in November. The purpose that we went there was basically to present the leadership training that CS does in Stellenbosch. There's been teams going to Rwanda for about 5 years now from Shofar Pretoria and Shofar Joburg. So they receive teams from us regularly, and they've already done all the foundations. So when we were praying about what we should do, we felt God say we're going to do the leadership training with them. But God didn't really say anything else, so we thought, like, okay, so there's a lot of time left, so what are we going to do in that extra time? I just want to give you some history as well. Bob was here in Pretoria. He studied here at Tuckies, and then after he finished his degree, he went back to Rwanda. He is a local from Kigali, and then he planted a small group there. So the small group has been quite stable for the past few years. The people who are there are really established, and we've been going there to support them in planting a church in Kigali. I just want to share a testimony that's really, really cool. Like you saw on the video, one of the things we felt we needed to go do in those free times, every morning when we asked God for direction for the day, was to go and pray at specific places. So God showed us that we need to go pray at places of meeting that are important for Kigali. Now, like Kobus also said, that wasn't really our intention. We thought, like, oh, yeah, we're going to go out and we're going to have crusades and people are going to be saved and we're going to feel so awesome afterwards. But that was not what God wanted for us there. So one thing that was really cool, in the video you saw, I was holding up a book with a vision written on it, and then you lift your eyes up and you see it. Now, that vision was given to us 2 months before we went. So God told us, okay, there's this sort of like this honey dripping from a comb into water that's going to be, the honey's going to drip into the water and it's going to be spread out. And we thought, wow, that's really random. We have no idea what God's trying to say with that. So we kind of just left it on the side and we're like, okay, we'll write it down and we'll take it with. And then when we were discussing where we should go for the prayer at the gathering places, God led us to this place, that building you saw that looks like a honeycomb, and he just confirmed to us, like, that is going to be a place that he wants to use in the future, where his word and his presence is going to spread out from there to Kigali. And that was just really amazing for me. Like, God really came through with something so specific. We didn't expect it. So we went to this place, and we saw this building being built. This is now part of the Kigali Convention Center that's being built in Kigali right now. It's the biggest convention center in the country. So they're moving the Genocide Museum there. They're moving, like, the biggest meeting hall you can there in a hotel. And there's a lot of development. It's the biggest development in Rwanda at the moment. So we thought, okay, well, God did give us this vision. So we're just going to rock up there at the gate where the guys with their AK-47s are. And we're like, okay, God, so we feel we need to come and pray at this place. So yeah, we just trusted God for that. So we came to the gate and we thought, okay, well, we're just going to be honest. We're just going to tell these people. So, like, we saw this in a vision and, like, we really want to pray on the grounds for this. And then they looked at us and they're like, okay, with their guns and everything. And there's a lot of Koreans there doing the construction work. And they also looked at us like, who are these white people here in Kigali? And then our translator, Azarias, what a legend, he was just, like, talking to them and God really just softened their hearts. Like, they put their guns away. They invited us into their office to sit down. And they're like, don't worry, we'll organize some transport for you to take you up to site. We'll organize an engineer to take you to the top. And we were just blown away because that doesn't happen. Like, people don't just let you into that. And the same at the stadium. They don't let you in. I mean, there's also guys with big guns, and they stand there. And you get there, and you tell them, okay, we want to pray at this place. And then for some, like, for some of us, we would be like, okay, this doesn't make sense. But if God gives you favor to do something, he'll open the doors every step of the way. So that's something, like, I really realized that obedience is what God wants from us, from this mission. That's what I learned a lot. And to not, like we ever said, look at success. While we were doing the leadership training, we just really, in our hearts, it was established that you need to have a clear vision for what you're doing. And there's a big difference between having a success and being significant. Like, in your own eyes, you can feel you're successful when you go out and you do a crusade, and, like, it looks outwardly as if it was very successful. You go home and you feel like, wow, we did what we should. But being significant is something totally different. Like, if you're in obedience to God, you're going to be significant no matter what you do. Even if you do something that seems boring or seems like it's wasting your time, if God tells you do it and you do it, then it's significant for his kingdom. And you might not see the results. So that's what our human nature just needs to understand. Like, you're not always going to see the results of what you're doing. You play a part in a bigger picture. Like, God has commissioned us to go out, and he's building his kingdom, and we are a part of that. So whatever God tells you, be obedient in that part. And I want to encourage you as well, all of us sharing the testimonies here on stage, it's really to encourage you to go out. God has commissioned Shofar. We are a church that sends people. So all of us sitting here, like Philip said, are church planters. We can do it. And I want to encourage you that just ask God what your part is and go for it. So if you feel on your heart to go on one of these missions that's coming up during the rest of the year, just go for it. You don't have to be perfect. You don't even have to know what you're specifically going to do. But if you're obedient, God will really bless that, and he'll use that part as significant part in his kingdom. And that's just all he asks from us, that obedience, not for us to feel good about ourselves. And that sometimes it is the result as well. You do feel good. I mean, if your heart's like God's heart, to see people getting saved, I mean, you rejoice with that as well. But yeah, I just really want to encourage you, please go to Rwanda. There's many teams needed to just go support them, because they are planting a church and there's big dreams for Kigali. God has, like, revealed so many things about so many places, and we need people to follow up, to go there, to pray things through and to establish things with the cell group there. Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, guys.
And then we send a team to Barclay East. Who knows where Barclay East is? But you're disqualified if you've been there. If you've never been to Barclay East, who knows where Barclay East is? Wow. It's in the middle of nowhere, but it's a really amazing place. Near Queenstown, Aliwal North, Umtata, South Africa, you know that area. We sent a team there to go and support a church who just does an amazing youth conference every year in the middle of nowhere. The town doesn't even have tarred roads, but they do a youth conference for 600-odd kids every year, which is really amazing. I'm going to ask some of that team just to come and share a little bit of what they did. That was 2 or 3 weeks ago. So are they going to come up? Or
hi, guys. Really, Barclay is in the middle of nowhere, but the amount of life that was there that weekend is truly just mind-blowing. Over 600-plus kids that come there every year, really just expecting something from God, and most of them are, like, from disadvantaged backgrounds, but to just see the amount of joy that is in their hearts and the expectation in their lives is, like, it really just brings you back to that place of just being in awe of God and just shifting your perspective back to what truly is real in life. For me, truly, just two things really just stood out. First thing was just the unity that God just birthed in the team, and really just how he just placed it in our hearts to really just love one another, and that really just enabled us to love, you know, those kids that were there and the kids that we were ministering to. And I really just felt that was so amazing. And the other thing was really just the salvations that happened. Over 100 plus kids came to Christ and came to salvation. And I believe that's truly what it's all about. So it was really just so amazing to just see their lives, see them really just dedicating their lives back to Christ. That was just so mind-blowing. And really just God just came and showed up at Barclay. Everything that we were praying about leading to the week, leading to that weekend, God really just came and he fulfilled. I remember the Saturday evening, the word that was shared was in essence about the Father heart of God. An altar call was made, and just kids that are without fathers or who do not have relationships with their fathers were just called out to be prayed for. And the amount of kids that really just came out really just broke my heart, and God just made me realize that that's an area where the enemy has just been stealing from them. But God just came and he just brought freedom, and he just came and he restored and he renewed. And the kids that we were ministering to, like, God just came and just showed them, like, most of them were just really just confessing forgiveness to their fathers. And God just came and just restored the father heart of God in their lives. And it was truly just mind-blowing. And a personal testimony, as I was praying for this one girl, I remember her just going down on her knees because she was just so overwhelmed about everything. And I remember God just challenging me to kneel down and pray with her. But then I had knee surgery last year, September, it's end of September. And I wasn't yet able to bend or kneel, anything like that. So I remember just God just saying, go down on your knees. And I was like, okay, Lord, you say it, I'll do it. So I remember just going down on my knees, had no pain whatsoever. Until that day, I'm able to bend and kneel, which I wasn't able to do since the surgery. So it's just been so amazing. And God really just taught me from that, that if we are willing to really just lay down our own burdens, lay down our own, you know, things that are stopping us or things that you think is significant to you, really, God is just going to come through. And he really just taught me that if we are willing to really just tend for his sheep, he will tend for our needs. And it was really just so amazing because really just God showed up and, yeah, it was incredible. Yeah.
Amen. I'm from Barclay East. I grew up there. God lives there. I'm a product of that. I also got born again in the same youth conference that we went to. The pastor there is Gavin Small. He has got three sons, and they're both three of them, not both. They're also in the ministry helping out, and yeah, they've got this event called Ignite. Like, kids from different schools, they come and camp the whole weekend there, and there were only about 21 of us, and they're about plus 600, and we did salvation and baptism. And for salvation, like, almost like a half of them just came in front and responded. And now you can imagine, like, just 21 people, and we have to facilitate that. We have to tell them about Jesus. Normally what we do here in church when people come to the Lord, and it was a mission, but God still worked out. And we praise God for that, even for baptism. There's also a number of them. Luckily, we escaped before, or not luckily, we left right after church on Sunday. There are also a number of kids who are going to just be baptized. Like for me, one of the things when you're dealing with a huge number of kids like that is you can offer so much, and then you get to a point whereby you feel like, I am done, you know. I don't feel there's anything I can give, and that's where God exactly like want us to be. When we think we can offer and offer, and you get to that point where you're so tired, you don't even think you're hearing right now or anything, and God is so faithful, and he comes true when you're very tired, and he gives you words of knowledge, he gives you visions, and so it was really, really a blessing to be part of that. And I want to encourage you, if even though Philip says it's a very small place, it is a very small place. The only shop that you know of is Pep. That's the only shop you'll get there. But yeah, it would be really, really nice if you want to go out and you have a passion just to reach out to students. Please do go there. The church, they don't really care. The event is too big for the church. It's getting like very big, and they cannot carry out the whole thing. They don't have the capacity to carry the whole thing. They really, really need help of people to just come serve. And normally, us as a shofar, we bring the ministry. Even us, 21, we still
a little number, even though God still works. So I want to encourage you, if you can go there and help out, and it will be really cool. And one little last thing that my team asked you to say for us, like passionately, is to say, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
You can hear Timmy loves his hometown. And if you can watch the last video clip, please.
Sorry, I thought you were upstairs. Hey, everyone. The team can join me if they want. Cool. So we're the team that went to Nepal. We're missing four of our other group members. Yeah, they just didn't want to come back to South Africa. What can we say, hey? They loved it there. Yeah, so we had the incredible privilege of being able just to share the gospel with the people in Nepal. For those of you who don't know where it is, you've got India, and above that you've got China, and in the middle of the two you've got Nepal. And Nepal is primarily known for their beautiful mountainscape, the Himalayas. So it was super cool being able to go to a country where all the tourists typically only go there just to see the beauty of the country. They have no interest in the people. So we got to go to the areas where tourists usually don't go and to really just show God's love there. And I tell you what, it makes such an impact on them where you go to a country where people mainly just focus on the beauty of the country and ignore the people. And we go there to love the people and just show God's love. And it was incredible to see the power just in that. So a little bit short description on what we did there. We had three conferences, and we had three conferences. One of them was a pastoral conference, so we were just imparting to pastors, teaching them how to run their congregations and churches. We had a women's conference and a youth conference, and it was just so incredible to see that the way in which they welcomed us as prophets, and we, you know, you don't necessarily see us as anything incredibly amazing, but they just knew that we knew God, and they're so hungry to see God move. We really saw God move in powerful ways in all the conferences. And just to share a little bit of a testimony regarding what happened, and there's a million times of things I could highlight for you. I know just when we arrived there, I was completely taken back by the spiritual poverty of the place. We arrived there, and the first thing we see traveling through the city is a guy. Well, first thing I saw was a guy standing outside a Hindu temple, and they've got a lot of idolatry worship there and temple worship. And here this guy, it's about 9 p.m. on a Saturday night, and it looks like this guy's walked incredibly far just to get to this temple. And here's the temple behind these locked gates with a chain on it, and he cannot get there. But he's sitting on his knees crying to a dead god. They can't hear him. And that's all over the country. And you carry on seeing things like that all over the place. And it was just so incredible to be able to show God's love and to share about a true living God. And just to testify a little bit about God's power, you know, sometimes we're so scared that God will move in our lives. We just don't want him to move, and we don't give him that opportunity. But, for example, we get to, during the women's conference, the guys had prayed for them a little bit, and we decided to do a little bit of evangelism because, just like Awakened, we weren't allowed there. So we decided, let's go around and just evangelize a bit. And we got to this one community, and they're very welcoming. So the family welcomed us into their home, and they gave us some cool drink, and we're sitting there. And the pastor which we worked for, he's Pastor Ma, he's incredibly well knowledgeable. He takes a sequence of 3 months where he trains 12 people to be disciples of God, and then he releases them to plant churches. And he goes through our Bible school material, teaches them lessons practically, and then just sends them out. So he knows the gospel really well. So we're sitting there, and he's busy sharing the gospel with the people there, speaking Nepalese. So myself, Christian, and Kobus sitting there, I'm just like, I feel really useless. So we're praying for them, but, you know, they're speaking Nepalese. So what can I do? I know that he's got all bases covered. So eventually I'm just like, okay, God, you say we won't lack anything. So just, please, it feels like I've got something to give. And straight in that instant, I could understand Nepalese. The whole conversation, they're speaking Nepalese, I'm just like, I hear Nepalese, but in my head, it's like I'm thinking in English. So then I repeat it back to them, and the guy's like, yeah, that's exactly what I mean. And then Pastor Ma, he looks at me, he's like, you speak Nepalese? I'm like, no, I don't. I don't know what's going on here. So then eventually he shared a little bit more about his life, and it was so much I could relate to. And I shared a little bit about my testimony, and it would really help the guy get over some things that he was battling with. And then at a point where I felt like I had said what God wanted me to say, I couldn't understand them anymore. So it was really cool just to see in that moment, as I needed one of the giftings, God was super faithful. And, you know, God wants to show his glory to the people and just to trust in that. And another situation where it was a lady who would limp, so she would walk, and her one leg is shorter than the other, so she keeps walking like this. That caused some pain in her hip, some pain in her knee and all the rest. So Kobus and I were praying for her, and as I'm closing my eyes, and I can just feel the Holy Spirit moving through her, but then Kobus starts laughing. I'm like, why on earth is he laughing? So we put the lady against the, we put a lady against the wall, and we just told her to stretch out her legs like this, so you could see her one leg was shorter than the other, and Kobus was holding her 2 feet, and so then I hear him laughing, so I open my eyes, and his hands are literally doing this. And right there, her leg grew a couple inches, and she could walk normally, and she still had a bit of pain, so we prayed again for her, and then the pain was gone. And yeah, God just, it's so cool to see their hunger there. I mean, we share a little bit about the Holy Spirit, and you know, so often we're just like, no, don't pray for me because, you know, I don't want to be seen as imperfect. They're like, well, you're saying God heals. Well, then pray for me. I've got a headache. You know, anything, just they want prayer. And every single time, God just pitched in an amazing way. They're so hungry to see God move. And yeah, it was an incredible privilege just loving the people there. So yeah, that was our Nepal mission. And then Margretta just wants to share a testimony.
Okay, I'll be short. The Nepal mission was quite hectic for me, but it felt like we're in the Church of Acts, like it was crazy. But one specific thing, God healed every person we prayed for, like for healing, and that kind of blew my mind. And then the one day, there was a lady we had like prayed for. There was a girl who had a boil that got healed, and I was like, wow, that's so cool. And then this lady came, and her face was paralyzed, and I was like, shucks, Lord, that's quite hectic. And like every person you pray until she gets healed. So I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be a long, you know, like long evening. And quick to like give some history, my face was paralyzed a couple of years ago from a car accident and God healed it. So I'm like, okay, I know you do this. So we'll start praying. And myself and Hanal were busy praying for this girl. And I'm looking at her and I'm like, her face is moving. And like I can see it moving. I'm thinking, no, can't be happening. And then her cheek starts twitching, and I'm like, what? And I look at her now, and we just burst out laughing. Like you have little faith. Like I couldn't believe it. I was like, what? And then her whole face started, like all the nerves started twitching in her face, and it was crazy. Like I just realized God is so much bigger than we. I mean, we did nothing. And this woman just said, for the first time, and she'd had surgery 7 years earlier, and for the first time in 7 years, she had no pain, and like. And God literally restored her face, which is, yeah, God's big.
So one of the things, as I said at the beginning, we're really committed to is to sending people. And Christy wanted to be here this evening, and he really wanted to be here and share with you guys a little bit of some of our plans for missions. But then we had a scheduling hiccup in Bloemfontein, and I said, well, Bloemfontein's around the corner, and Christy was going to drive through for the service there. So he's there this evening. And you remember, maybe if you were here, hopefully you will remember, last week I started with a series on just walking in, identifying and growing in our callings. And a light guy, there's no light switch at the back there, so they have to run up here every time to turn on the lights. And I thought kind of, because we'd scheduled this night quite a while ago, I thought, you know, it's a bit of an interruption in the program as we're speaking about our calling and kind of just picking up some flow in terms of that series. And as I started thinking that, the Holy Spirit just said, no, this is exactly our calling for all of us. That there's one thing, as I said earlier, that Jesus is doing, and that is building his church. And if there's one thing Jesus wants you and I, all of us, to be doing is building his church. Whether it's in Nepal or Rwanda, or whether it's right here in Pretoria, wherever we happen to be finding ourselves, to be busy building his church. And just the passage, two passages that I want us to read quickly. The first one is in Genesis 22. I'll be very, very short tonight. The angel of the Lord called to Abram a second time out of heaven. And he said, "By myself I've sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and the sand which is on the seashore. Your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed me." And some of you may remember a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about Abraham. And we spoke about God taking him outside and God saying to Abraham, "Look up." And as Abraham looked up and he saw the multitude of the stars in the sky, God stirred something in him about God's promise towards Abraham. We spoke about the fact that part of his promise was that in him and in his seed, all the families, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And then we saw that part of the promise that God gives every New Testament believer is that we are inheritance and partakers of the promise of Abraham. What is the promise of Abraham? That in him all the nations of the earth should be blessed. What does that mean for you and me? It means in you and in me, all the nations of the earth should be blessed. It's part of our redemptive inheritance. It's part of what God would have every one of us step into. That because of us, the nations of the earth should be blessed. In Romans 10, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And the context here is the context of salvation. Just before this, it says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just before that, it says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then verse 14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? You see, the question that so many of us would ask as we think about missions, whatever that is, something that you eat with potatoes, but whatever you think about missions, is what's going to happen to me if I go? What's going to happen to me if I step across the room? What's going to happen to me if I go to Nepal? What's going to happen to me if I go and speak to my classmate? That's all the wrong question. Now, the question you and I should be asking, what's going to happen to them if we don't? That's exactly what Paul's getting at here in Romans. What's going to happen? How are they going to believe if nobody's there to tell them? How are they going to get saved? How are they going to believe if there's no one standing up preaching the gospel, taking the call of God seriously upon their lives? And for us as a church, this is something that we're going to continue to take seriously. Passage most of us probably know really well in Matthew 28. Jesus came and he spoke to his disciples, all of them, not just the 12, all of them. And part of the implications it means applies to all of us. He said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." What does a disciple look like? Well, someone who's been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and somebody who's been taught to observe everything that I've taught you. Last year, some of you may remember, we took just this passage, and for a couple of weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, we just broke this passage down and looked at the various details and implications thereof. But the standing commandment that Jesus has already said to us, go therefore. So often we understand Jesus saying to us, stay therefore, unless he says go. You know, the reality, he says go therefore, unless he says stay. He's already said go. And that's why as a church, I want to have us all believe that we're all meant to be going. Because I believe that's what Jesus wants to say to us. The only question is when and where. Am I going to my dad? Am I going to my family? Or am I going across the ocean? But going, God, I'm going to be going, carrying the good news of Jesus. So we're going to be sending a couple of teams in the rest of the first half of this year. We've already sent the team to Barclay. We're going to be sending teams to Lesotho. The dates are up there. to Bloemfontein, that they just, after the slide was made, has crystallized a little bit. You know, for the, how many of your students are Tux here? A whole bunch of you. So the trip to Bloem is probably going to be, you guys have a break in April for a week. You've got a break, and then you've got a week's class, and then you've got another break. In that first break, Bloemfontein doesn't have a break during that time. So that just seems to be a really natural time for us to go across there, because their students, they're all on campus. We can go and minister there. The church is there. Their people are there. So that'll be in that time. You can go look on your calendar for those dates. Then we'll send a team to Malawi for about 2.5 weeks. Then Splashy Fen. Tinus is really excited to go there in April. I've got no clue what it is, but apparently it's cool, and apparently they need Jesus there. So Splashy Fen in the Underberg. Then to Zimbabwe. We'll be sending a team to Nepal again and to Mozambique. So we're sending a whole bunch of teams for the rest of the first half of this year. The teams for the second half of the year, we'll let you know a little bit closer to the time. But this is where we're going to be sending teams for. So what is it that you need to do? First of all, is you need to start praying. A couple of prayers. And the first prayer that you need to pray is, just for you, answer, you need to push the button one more time. And God answers prayer, see? And then you need to be praying. What do you need to be praying? You need to be praying for yourself, that God will do something in your heart, about your heart for the nations. I need you to pray that prayer. I need you to ask God to make me love that what He loves. Because I love my warm bed and my pillow and my well-cooked meal, which I know what's actually gone into this that I'm about to eat. I need to pray that God would give me a greater love for His people than for my comforts. You know, when you start loving people, then that really comfortable bed substituting for the floor is not a big thing, because you love the people that you're going. Start praying for our own hearts. And then we need to start praying for the people that we're going to support and going to minister to. Timmy spoke about Pastor Gavin and his family doing such incredible work in Barkly East. Some of you missed that. The town, Barkly East, they don't even have tar roads. I'm not joking. They don't have tar roads. But somehow they managed to have an annual youth conference for 600 plus school kids. That's pretty serious. There are very few youth conferences in South Africa with 600 kids coming. They do it in Barclays in the middle of nowhere. The people in Nepal and in Rwanda, you heard Bob, we're bringing Bob over a little bit later in the year just to spend some time with him again. Just impart into his life. Pray for the people that God's having us partner with as we just committed to seeing His kingdom come upon the nations. Then what do you need to do? You need to start preparing yourself. How do you prepare yourself? Well, you get involved in a small group. Some of you still on small group is so important. And you know why? Because that's where growth and life change happens. That's where all the great theory and the messages that we hear here, someone sits you down and asks you the really hard question. So what are you going to do about it? How are you going to start listening to God? And that's when we begin to grow in our relationship with God. Bible school, I want to encourage you to do that. Many of you already are. How many of you are doing Bible school this year? Put up your hands. Is it good? I think so too. Changed my life. Some of you may not be able to come on Tuesday evenings. It's a correspondence package. Some of you maybe missed that, but the people in Nepal do our Bible school. We've got more than 50 Bible schools all over the place now. God just opened door, and most of it is in the correspondence package. So if you need to just order the correspondence package, it's all on DVDs, and you can spend time doing that. Do the encounters if you haven't done them yet. Encounter one, the first Saturday of every month, life encounter. And speak to a small group facilitator about home encounter. Foundation 3 and 4, and coming up on the 24th of May, a share seminar. Share seminar is all about how do you go about sharing what Jesus has already done in your life with the people around you. Fantastic seminar. I encourage you to come to that. Just learn how to share what Jesus has done. Learn how to tell your story. Learn how to give of what has already been given to you. Some of you need to pencil in those dates. Try and say this often. I really do, because it's so important that you hear this. As you sit here, if you've been around us for a couple of months, you are more equipped than the vast majority of pastors who are currently pastoring churches. And I don't say that lightly. I say that because I've been and I've worked with a bunch, literally hundreds of pastors over the years. The vast majority of pastors in this world are not in the developed world, but the developing world, where the church is growing incredibly. Just met, I think I shared about it recently, met an organization at the moment who's working in Iran. Do you know there are more than 1 million believers in the underground church in Iran and growing? The church is easily the fastest growing entity in the world today. It's believers come to Christ regularly. But you know the vast majority of those pastors, do you know what they've got? A revelation of Jesus and a passion for his name and a willingness to obey his call. God, that's more than enough for God to use. God's using that incredibly. In terms of training and understanding of just what's been imparted into their life, as you sit here, if you've been here for a couple of months, you've got more than the vast majority of those pastors. Some of you may have missed it. Warren spoke just now. You know, one of the things they went and did in Nepal with a whole bunch of pastors, just ordinary folk from our church, you know what they went and did there? A pastors' conference. Training and equipping pastors. Does that seem a little bit arrogant? Yes, it is a little bit. Except you know why we do it? Because the pastors on that side always ask for it. They say, we want you to come and present that. We go to Malawi and Rwanda and Congo and all over the place and we present pastors' conference. And the pastors always say, please come back and do this again. That's why we do it. I was just in Houston a couple of weeks ago and posted on Facebook, I'm going to be in Houston, really excited. An old friend of mine replied, hey, I'm in Houston too. I said, okay, cool, we'll meet up, we'll have lunch. So she happened to work at the conference that I was attending. She was in charge of the special guest section. So the first person we saw when we arrived at the special guest check-in was Kalisha, and we spoke Afrikaans, and everyone else was like, had a Warren moment, you know, what's going on here? And then there was this church we really wanted to see off the conference. So the Sunday morning, we went to Lakewood. It's this really crazy church. And if you ever want to build like a temporary church while you're planning to build like a proper church, then you can use Lakewood. They've got a really cool little 20,000-seater auditorium that will work for a temporary environment for church until you can figure out something proper. And they've got Israel Houghton leading worship every week. It's just a crazy environment and great. So we went to that. And then Kalisha had been saying to us, we must go to church with them. So we said, okay, fine, we'll go to church with them. We'll go to the first Lakewood service, and then we'll go to their second service in the morning. So it'll work out nicely. And her husband, Antony, picked us up from Lakewood and took us to their church. And church, similar setup to this, quite a bit bigger, but also school hall type thing, couple of services on a Sunday. And planted a couple of churches planted another church in the Atlanta area. And Antony takes us and shepherds us right the way to the front, the second row. I'm like, no, can we sit at the back? He's like, no, we've got to sit here. So we sit there. After worship, their pastor gets up and he says, listen, can all the pastors in the congregation just please get up? Because he wants the church to honor them. And here, Antony and Kalisha next to me get up. And I look at them, and Antony's all sheepish. He says, it's not me, it's her. So we go for lunch, and I ask her about this, because this is an interesting development. Because she was in church with us, not here in Stellenbosch. When I was a student, she was a student. Always loved the Lord, did what you guys do. Did Bible school, went on missions, but was never an obvious person to go into the ministry. Had a chat to her, and this is in Houston, this is in the middle of the Bible Belt. To become a pastor of a church there, if you're not planting the church, but even then, you need a theological degree from one of the seminaries. She doesn't have any of that. She just got a relationship with Jesus. She says it's a little bit weird in the staff meetings and stuff, and she feels awkward because she's the only one who doesn't have a degree in theology. Doesn't seem to bother anyone else in her church, though. She's the woman's pastor. She's my age. She's the woman's pastor in this church, quite a large church. Do you know how that just encouraged my heart? Knowing that what in our sense would be an ordinary member, somebody who's done Bible school like we expect everybody in church with us to do, been in small group for a while, been on a couple of missions, goes to a church, and the church there recognizes there's something that's happened healthy in this life. And appoint her as a pastor. To me, that is incredibly encouraging. We may be doing a whole bunch of stuff wrong, but if that's the fruit of what we're doing something right. I want to encourage you as you sit here, and this is what she says to me. She says, she just wishes she knew what she had when she was in Shofar, knowing what she knows now. She says, if she could come back here, that's the one thing she tell people in church. I say, I'll fly you back to come to church to tell everyone that. the way God is equipping you, take every opportunity because you're going to leave here at some stage. Very, very few of us are going to be here until the day we die. You're going to go to Witbank or Durban or Germiston, praise the Lord, hopefully not. But or Houston or somewhere in Kazakhstan or Istanbul or Rio de Janeiro, somewhere God's going to take you. You know what you want, what God wants, what you're going to do there is up to you and Him. But what God wants you to do there, He wants you to impart into the lives of other believers. Use what you can to prepare yourself now. The next thing is start serving. Why is this important to start serving? Because there are a whole bunch of people here working too hard and we need some help. Yes. But you know what we need more than that? You need to train yourself to be able to give something when you go. It's one thing standing up in Nepal, picking up a piece of some notes and teaching some theory on theology or whatever. It's something else standing up saying, guys, in our church, I've been serving the hospitality team. Do you know what? I've learned how to connect with people, and can I share that with you? I've been leading a small group for a while, and can I share with you a little bit of what I've learned when I've been leading a small group? I've been serving in the sound team, and I've figured out how the sound desk works a little bit. So you guys have a cool sound desk here. Can I maybe show you one or two of the things that I've learned in using it? What you're doing in that moment, you're equipping a church to minister to their people better. How are you going to learn that? By serving in that very area. Something you're going to pick up in the spirit about servitude, but something about the practical skill you're going to learn while you're serving. Put something in your hand that when you go, you've got something to give to that church. Start serving. Practically, get a passport. How many of you here don't have a passport yet? Come, let's be honest. Praise the Lord, almost all of you do. The rest of you can sort it out this week. Because it's one thing putting up your hand saying, God, use me, send me to the nations, but I don't have a passport. You know you're lying. You're not being serious when you're saying that to God. Unless you're talking about, God, take me to a nation and let them find out I have a passport and keep me there forever. You know, if that's your plan, then that's okay. Get a passport. Just really practical. Start saving. Missions cost money. God isn't confused by that. I saw Sunet earlier. I said, God always provides. Sunet's just been on a mission to Nepal. It cost them 12,000 rand. I said, God provides. She's nodding her head. God provides. That's why I'm going to do something a little bit weird now. We don't normally do it this way if you're visiting. I'm going to ask the ushers to pass the offering bags around now. And if you have something in your heart that you'd like to give, or maybe better, something in your wallet that you'd like to give, then now's a great opportunity to do so. If you're visiting, please don't feel compelled to give. But I want us just to begin to make a connection that part of what you give in this church will always go to missions. We put some money aside every month. I can't guarantee that every cent you're going to give now is going to go to missions. What I can guarantee is that this month and every other month, a heck of a lot more than what you're giving now, because I know roughly how much you give now, is going to go to missions. We spend a lot more on missions than you're going to give tonight, unless someone writes out a big fat check for us. Can I just, quick joke. We were in the States sitting in this massive Lakewood church. Pastor takes up our offering. The lady next to us opens a checkbook and starts writing a check. So I kind of call Christy and Tiana and I say, look at this. When was the last time you saw a check? I've never had a checkbook in my life. Okay? I've never written a check in my life. Here this lady next to me is writing a check. So I asked Kalisha, this pastor friend of mine, I said, what's up with that? I said, you never believe what we saw in this church. We saw somebody writing a check. She says, yeah, people do it all the time because they can't EFT. How crazy is that? The American banking system apparently doesn't allow you to do EFTs, so everybody's got checkbooks. So praise the Lord for the African banking systems and EFTs. Okay. Where was I? But I want us to start making the connection that when you give in this church, I promise you, a part of that will always go to missions. We send a bunch of teams, and for the last 2 years, every team, we're really almost done, every team we've sent has had a significant subsidy from what you guys give on a weekly basis and on a monthly basis. Keep giving, and we'll keep supporting. And getting behind the teams that do go. And then take out your cell phone again and open that barcode scanner, whatever it is. Finally, scan this image. Hopefully it works. It didn't work in the first server, so we changed the color. But hopefully it works now. It's going to take you straight to the scan. That if you've got a BlackBerry and you don't know how it works, then you need to go to BBM Messenger and then join or scan a group code, something like that, in your BBM Messenger. Scan a group code and it should allow you. Is it working? Sort of. Not really. Some of you. Some not. Anyway, that'll take you straight to the Let's Go Sign Up portal. It's going to open a little web page on your phone where right now you can fill in your details and say, these are the teams that I'm potentially interested in, and we're going to contact you with all of the details around that. Okay. I know we're way over time tonight, but it's because everyone else was sharing so much, and it's not my fault. But we'll leave this up when the service is done so you can get a little bit closer if you need to scan it. But if we could just close in prayer. I know some of you need to get going. Father, I want to thank you that we can be part of your church, your house, that's among the nations, Lord. I want to thank you, God, for every single anointed, gifted, called, skilled church planter that you have placed in our midst here tonight, Lord. God, that you would stir in our hearts your passion for the nations, Lord. That even tonight, just sharing a little bit about the teams we've sent and the teams we're planning to send, Lord. God, that you would just multiply it, God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, that from this church, we would continue to send people wherever your Spirit would lead us. Lord, I want to pray for every person here, God. You know tonight we didn't do much ministry to individuals, Lord, but I know that doesn't hold you back from healing and saving, restoring, casting off burdens and loads, setting people free, Lord. That even right now, that Holy Spirit, you would cause people to hear your voice and know your way. That you would lead and answer us in every decision we need to make in this week. We just commit, Lord God, this entire week and everything we are doing to you, Lord. And pray even specifically, God, for these teams, their planning for Christu as he's heading it up and leading it, God. That you would lead and guide him with just an abundance of wisdom, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Speak, you give power to the weak, you raise dead men to their feet, you are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming his glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.